JC Corcoran Podcast.
Well, guys, as if we're not dealing with enough right now, doctors are warning people against a new TikTok trend called sleepy chicken, where people cook chicken in NyQuil.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
What?
There's actually another name for chicken that makes you sleepy. It's called turkey.
Just eat turkey.
That's right, doctors are warning people against cooking chicken in cold medicine. I mean, the recipe is wild. Take a look at the recipe. It says, add oil to pan, then add chicken, then saute in bottle of NyQuil. After that, cook chicken through, transfer to plate, and then enjoy. After that, wake up face down in plate 4 hours later. Next, stumble into garage, drive car straight through garage door. Then drive to Taco Bell on wrong side of road, going 3 miles per hour. After that, remove shirt, demand eggplant parm and a Twinkie. Then get arrested. Next, use one phone call on the only number you remember, the house you grew up in as a kid. Then spend night in jail. Join gang for protection. After that, get neck tattoo of prison nickname, Scissor Chicken. Then gain freedom, but lose job as high school principal. And finally, refrigerate leftovers. So, I mean, it's a tricky recipe.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Friday, January 21st, 2022, 291 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. You're at jconline.com. Hi, kids. I hesitate even looking at this. I just hesitate even looking at this. This football game between the Packers and the 49ers at 7:15 on Saturday night could be interesting. They're talking about snow showers and temperatures down around zero. I'll get to more of that in a minute here. All right. I'm going to look. 7 degrees. As we start with the podcast here at 7 o'clock in the morning, 7 friggin' degrees. All right, here you go. Tomorrow afternoon, 3:30 on CBS, Cincinnati, 2.5-point underdogs at Tennessee. Weather should be okay. And then tomorrow night, 7:15 on Fox, the Pack, 4.5-point favorites at home against the 49ers and snow in the forecast. Sunday, 2 o'clock, NBC, Tom Brady and the Bucks are 2.5-point favorites at home against the Rams. That is going to be a hell of a game. And then on Sunday at 5:30 on CBS, the Chiefs, 2.5-point favorites at home against Buffalo. What a game that is going to be. There are some tremendous football games this weekend. But you know what? I said that last weekend, too, and we had blowouts, and you're like, wow, I sort of planned my entire weekend around this game, and look at this. It's 21-0 at the half. Jeez, I'm going to go clean out the garage. And even though, again, there are 4 football games this weekend, well, you know, last weekend there were 5, so it's not as bad as it was, but, you know, if you're having trouble around the house, and by the way, this goes for either men or women, because there's a lot of households, where the woman, you know, she's the football fan and the guy isn't into it. But regardless of that situation, you got almost the whole day on Saturday. The first game's not till 3:30. I mean, you can get a lot done. Same thing with Sunday. Football doesn't start till 2 o'clock. Plus, you got all day today, Friday, and Friday night, Saturday, right up until, you know, mid-afternoon. It doesn't have to be a cluster. It doesn't have to be a cluster. By the way, during an interview with Sportsnet, Aaron Rodgers picked up a football and said, this is too firm for the Patriots. Aaron and the Packers may end up facing Tom Brady and the Bucks for the NFC title if both teams win this weekend. Dak Prescott fined $25,000 for saying he agreed with fans who threw trash at the refs. You could see this coming because we keep doing the countdown here of Major League Baseball and the spring training games, which are now supposedly less than a month away. I don't think it's going to happen. Regardless, robot baseball umpires are being promoted to AAA for the coming season. They originally started out on A-ball. You know, A-ball is like these kids fresh out of high school who are like 18 years old. They're playing in godforsaken places that look like the scenery in the movie The Last Picture Show. You know, even that Dennis Quaid movie, The Rookie, that was a high school team, but still it was in the middle of freaking nowhere. And so that's A-ball, and they got double-A, but then triple-A is, you know, Cardinals and all Major League Baseball teams pick up a lot of players from triple-A. You know, triple-A, last stop before the major leagues. So the fact that MLB is putting these robot umpires in what is one stage away from the major leagues, let's just say it's cause for concern. How about that? We'll leave it at that. Might be going to see a movie this weekend. As you know, if you are a regular listener here to the J.C. Corcoran podcast, I was really a fan of the movie The House of Gucci, and I thought Lady Gaga was fantastic in it. And towards the beginning of the movie, she is involved in what I described as a torrid, and I mean torrid, sexual scene with her co-star. You don't see a lot, but you definitely... you get the sense of what's going on. It's a very graphic and at the same time non-graphic sex scene. I don't know how else to describe it. Well, it turns out that Salma Hayek, who is also in the movie, I guess the storyline has this House of Gucci gal, played by Lady Gaga, being either bisexual or just having a weak moment, shall we say. And they actually shot a sex scene for the movie, but somebody who is absolutely pure evil in Hollywood cut it out of the film. Thanks for nothing. I saw Dakota Johnson on James Corden the other night, and she comes out in like these 4-inch pumps and this little tiny, tiny little dress. And she goes and sits down on the couch, and the thing rides up over the side of her ass, and she's like trying to pull it down, and she's doing that sort of demure little, oops, look at this, my butt's hanging out, let me just pull this down, I'm so embarrassed. It's like, we've already seen every square centimeter of your body in those sex movies you make, that mommy porn stuff, 50 Shades, but you're going to sit there and try to pull your dress down because I wouldn't want you to see anything improper.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show Graham.
Meatloaf on winning a Grammy.
You know how you get these people and they say, well, where's your Grammy or where's your this or where's your that? And they go, well, I haven't seen it. I think it's in the top of my closet. I tell you what, I know where mine is. It's in my living room on top of my piano, and I look at it every day. If I could hang it around my neck, I would. I figured before I won one of those, I'd be dead for best performance of a dead guy.
All right, by now you have heard the news. Meatloaf dead at the age of 74. He was having a lot of back problems. He had something like 5 surgeries on his back. It literally collapsed on stage a couple of years back. I know there was an incident back in 2016 where they pretty much had to help him off the stage right in the middle of his performance. And, you know, when you have done that to your... By the way, he got the nickname Meatloaf from a football coach. He said he's a big slab of meatloaf, and the nickname stuck. But, you know, you can't do that to your body without it having consequences. This is why I've always been afraid for the situation involving John Goodman, because John is the sweetest guy. He is the nicest man. And the thing that John doesn't get a lot of credit for is how smart he is. He's really, really an intelligent guy and just a good-natured human being. But it's no secret that John drank, and that's in capital letters. And then, of course, there was the weight gain. He's a really handsome guy, especially when he was younger. I mean, he's a really, really handsome man. But he had this teddy bear quality to him. He picked me up once in the Busch Stadium press box. Just picked me right off my feet. But, you know, I always worry about John because, you know, when you do that to your body over a protracted period of time, you're talking a couple of decades, it's going to catch up with you in a lot of cases. And, you know, Meatloaf here, he is 74 years old, but not exactly the picture of health. Speaking of actors, this is really funny. Somebody released the Fenton Feinberg casting. And this is dated August 21st, 1984, as Robert Zemeckis, who I went to college with, by the way, at Northern Illinois University. I worked with his sister, Carol, at the radio station, the campus station, WKDI DeKalb. And they made a long list of all of the actors that they considered for various parts. I think by now everybody knows Eric Stoltz actually got the job of Marty McFly, and they shot for 2 weeks and they didn't like the way it was going, so they fired Eric Stoltz and brought in Michael J. Fox, and the rest is history there. Some of the other names that they had listed to play Marty McFly: C. Thomas Howell, Ralph Macchio. I see the name Cusack on here, which is misspelled, but I'm assuming that's John Cusack. I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine anybody else in that role other than Michael J. Fox now, after having seen the movie about 70 times. But here's the interesting part. Here's all the actors that they had listed as possibles for the role of Doc Brown. And I'm just going to go through these really fast. Jeff Goldblum, John Lithgow, Joe Piscopo, Peter Boyle, Donald Sutherland, Dabney Coleman, Richard Mulligan, Ron Silver, John Hurd, Robin Williams, John Cleese, Tom Conti, Mandy Patinkin, Treat Williams, Mickey Rourke, Gene Hackman, Alan Arkin, David Dukes, Charles Grodin, Gene Wilder, Harold Ramis, Paul LaMotte, Albert Brooks, Chevy Chase, Steve Martin, Mark Blankfield, Robert Klein, who the hell is Mark Blankfield? James Woods, Chris Lloyd, Danny DeVito, Bob Balaban, Kevin Conway, Paul Dooley, John Candy, Henry Winkler, Eddie Murphy, Bill Cosby, Joe Bologna, Randy Quaid, Michael Keaton, and Charlie Martin Smith, who was in Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. God, that's funny. And just to follow up on John Goodman here for a minute, that TV show The Conners is on, I forget what night it's on, but Tuesday, I believe. And all we heard was that Joe Walsh was going to be on, but he wasn't going to play himself. So I recorded it, and to my shock and surprise, Joe Walsh hit it out of the park. He was fantastic. So the storyline is that Joe Walsh's son is dating John Goodman's daughter, and the two dads get together and sit down and talk about the situation because Joe Walsh has concerns about the pairing. The only problem is Joe Walsh, as the story goes in the TV show, is a roofer and fell off a couple of buildings and is not all there. Joe Walsh playing a burnout. How about that?
She's got a steady job. She's a solid person. Boy, I see it. Aldo's damn lucky to have her.
I didn't say she's bad. I said she's not right. I'm a roofer, Dan. Like a lot of roofers, a couple bees chased me off a two-story into a wheelbarrow full of bricks.
Were the bees mad because your story didn't have a point?
I'm getting there. I'm a storyteller, Dan. Anyway, a man needs a woman he can count on. And Aldo's mom, Marlene, she was there for me after the accident. She taught me how to read and write and play harmonica again.
You're a lucky man. Must have been before she went psychotic.
No, that happened right after I slept with her sister. I told her it was dark and they're pretty much the same height. She came at me with a rake anyway.
You never know what's going to set a woman off.
That's really good. That's a good scene. Who knew that Joe Walsh could act? That was fun. I enjoyed that. Well, when Hugh Hefner died, whenever that was, a year ago, 2 years ago, you know, I did a little bit of a dissertation on it because I thought that a lot of stuff that Hugh Hefner did was really, really good for American society. Things were too damn buttoned down as we went into the 1950s, and it was only a matter of time before this whole thing was just going to go kaboom, and if it wasn't Hugh Hefner, it would have been somebody else. And at least Hefner put together a magazine that was, I dare say the word, on occasion, classy. I mean, you had these interviews with, you know, like Henry Kissinger and stuff like that, and the photography was the best in the world at that time. The women were knockout beautiful, and there was some lowbrow stuff in there too, which is, you know, I guess you had to expect a little bit of that. But on balance, I thought that, you know, Playboy magazine was something that this country really needed And like I said, if it wasn't Hugh Hefner, it would have been somebody else. Now, you can talk about, you know, women being objectified as sex objects. Totally understand that. It was a different time. It was a different era. And as society changed, so did Playboy. And at the same time, you had this hero, legendary type status surrounding Hugh Hefner. Here's a guy who never put clothes on. He just walked around in pajamas the whole time, and he had the Playboy mansion. I've told the story before about in 1985 we followed the Cardinals to Los Angeles, and everybody remembers the legendary home run by Jack Clark over the head of Pedro Guerrero. Just takes his glove off and slams it down on the field, and the Cardinals go on to play in the World Series. So the U-Man and I are there in the lobby of the hotel, and we got our tape recorders out, and the bus shows up in front of the hotel. The guys blow right past us. They just ignored us like we weren't there. We're like, that's sort of unusual. These guys know who we are, especially they knew John because of his job down at the stadium. And these guys, you know, we knew a lot of them. You know, I knew Ozzy, and I knew Jeff Lottie, who was a reliever back in the middle 1980s. We knew a lot of the players, and they just blew right past us and went straight on the elevator and straight up. And we were like standing there going, what happened there? So we're sitting there at the bar, and about 15 minutes later, the elevators just unload with Cardinal baseball players who all go blown right out back the front of the hotel and get in cabs and take off. Well, it turns out that they had accepted an invitation to hang out at the Playboy Mansion. In other words, Hugh Hefner sitting down in California going, you know, we love the Dodgers. We love the Dodgers. But, you know, this is great for baseball. And come on, guys, just to show you what good sports we are, come on out to the Playboy Mansion. We will entertain the competition. I never made it there. And it didn't really feel like I needed to either. You know, it's sort of like one of those things where the more you see that stuff close up, the less of a good idea it is. The whole Playboy thing was better viewed exactly the way we viewed it from a distance. So that's pretty much what I said when Hugh Hefner died. Well, now here it is a year or two later, and we're finding out a lot of stuff that's really, really seedy. Apparently it was pretty ugly behind the walls and the gates of the Playboy Mansion. And now Playboy, which I don't even think the magazine exists anymore. I think it's all website stuff now. It's almost like they seem as though they might be distancing themselves from Hugh Hefner, which I think they sort of have to do at this point. I mean, we're in the middle of this cancel culture stuff, which I think is really fucking stupid, but unfortunately it has a life of its own, so you have to deal with it from time to time. But the more that time goes on, the more stuff we're finding out about what Hugh Hefner was like and what things were really like at that Playboy Mansion and in the grotto and everything, and you know, and even COVID is saying, I'm not going anywhere near there. Those germs scare the shit out of me. Did you ever see those pictures of Martha Stewart when she was in her 20s and 30s? She worked as a model, and she was really, really good looking. And of course, now she's got the whole thing with Snoop Dogg, which I think is a riot. It turns out now that she dated Anthony Hopkins in the 1990s, but she dumped him because she said she couldn't get over his performance as Hannibal Lecter. Here's the quote. All I could think of was him eating, well, you know, end quote. I ate her vagina with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. Okay, you didn't need to hear that. Yep, you're right. You didn't need to hear that. Peter Billingsley will return as an adult Ralphie in a sequel to A Christmas Story called A Christmas Story Christmas. In this one, Ralphie brings his kids back to his childhood home to give them a magical Christmas. And why the hell are we doing this story now? Christmas was only a month ago. My 12-year-old comes to me yesterday and says, we got to talk about what we're going to get everybody for Valentine's Day. It's like, I'm still getting the bills from Christmas. Well, I guess you heard that story about Tom Cruise producing a movie that was shot partly in space on the Vomit Comet. That's that plane that does those parabolic dives. And so you get the weightlessness effect and everything like that. So he's shooting it. Well, it turns out Space Entertainment Enterprise is going to launch a film and TV studio along with a sports arena, and all of this will be in orbit. They hope to have it up there by 2024. Play basketball in zero gravity? All right, late night tonight. Bill Maher is back tonight, followed by the second season of Back on the Record with Bob Costas. Saturday Night Live, Will Forte is returning to host. Billions, sixth season premiere, Sunday night, 8 o'clock on Showtime. Tonight, Stephen Colbert's got Elvis Costello. I think everybody else is in reruns. John Mellencamp has a new album today. This being released, 24th album, and includes three songs with Springsteen. It's called Strictly a One-Eyed Jack, and that'll be available for you starting today. Speaking of music, John Mayer apparently paid for a private plane to bring home the body of Bob Saget. They were friends. How about this? I've always said this, and it's not like I'm telling you anything you don't know. Beautiful women love funny guys. And Anna Kendrick, who was in Up in the Air, which was shot in St. Louis, she and Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live have been quietly dating for over a year. How'd they get away with that? And Pamela Anderson headed for her fourth divorce. She's already had two annulments. Oh, and Ricky Gervais says he would host the Oscars for free if they would let him say whatever he wanted. I don't think the chances are real good for that. The Batman, the new movie, is going to be almost 3 hours long. And coming up at this year's New Orleans Jazz Fest, The Who, Stevie Nicks, Foo Fighters, Jimmy Buffett, Willie Nelson. Pretty good lineup. 35 years ago today, in 1987, Aretha Franklin became the first woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. 1987. They couldn't find any other women in rock and roll or R&B who qualified until 1987. Joni Mitchell, Linda Ronstadt, Ronnie Spector. The fucking singing nun. Anybody. 1987. I don't like these panels that decide this stuff. They're too snooty. Do you know? And by the way, I have approached a couple of big sportscasters in town. All the names you would know. Frank Cusimano, Steve Savard, all those guys. And they look at me and they're like, are you sure? Yes, I'm absolutely positive. The St. Louis Walk of Fame in U City. You know who does not have a star? Dan Kelly. All he was the voice of the National Hockey League back in the 1960s on NBC, introduced the game of hockey to America. There were only six teams at the time, and people are sitting in Alabama going, what the hell are they doing? But you had a game every Sunday afternoon on the network. It was a big deal. He meets all of the qualifications, you know, broadcast hockey for decades in St. Louis. He called some Cardinal games. He called Mizzou games. He was a great ambassador for the game of hockey. All of this coming out of St. Louis, and no star on the St. Louis Walk of Fame in U City. Somebody explain that to me. And speaking of TV, and we were just a little while ago, I think you'll see a lot of stories about this across the weekend here, because it was 2 years ago today in 2020, the first confirmed case of COVID-19 was found right here in the United States. It didn't really amp up until mid-March, but the first case was discovered 2 years ago today. All right, birthdays this weekend. Baby Spice is 46. Charlotte Ross from NYPD Blue looks good naked too. She did those PETA ads. 54. Hakeem Olajuwon, basketball legend, 59. Gina Davis, 66. Robbie Benson, the ode to Billy Joel, 66. Jill Eikenberry from LA Law, nice gal. Had her in St. Louis a couple times, and she was very, very pleasant. Pretty gal, too. Good actress, 75. Jack Nicklaus, arguably the best white golfer of all time. I don't know. Birthdays on Saturday. Guy Fieri is 54. Diane Lane, oh, God, Unfaithful. What a movie. 57. Linda Blair from The Exorcist, 63. Steve Perry of Journey, 73. Birthdays on Sunday. Tiffany, Don't Call Me. Amber Thiessen from Saved by the Bell, 48. Mariska Hargitay, 58. Robin Zander from Cheap Trick, 69. And Chesley Sullenberger, otherwise known as Sully, saved 154 lives with that emergency landing on the Hudson River in 2009. Sully is 71 on Sunday. A new poll found 70% of Americans plan to, quote, have more fun with their finances over the next decade and, quote, spend more freely instead of just saving. Because, yeah, the good times will just last forever. 60% said they plan to go all out to make up for the stuff they haven't been able to do during the pandemic. Young people are the most likely to have a carefree attitude about it. Baby boomers were more likely to say they're sticking to a tight budget. 4 in 5 people claim they're fairly careful with their finances in general, though. But here are the top 10 things we blow. No, it's top seven. Top seven things we blow our money on over the next 10 years, according to this survey. Traveling, home goods and decor, more gadgets and electronics, eating out at restaurants, clothes, concerts, and other live entertainment, and shoes. Some people prefer not to pay for things that they want. A man in Toronto stole an $8,000 electric guitar from a music shop last month by stuffing it down his pants. He walked out and hopped into a vehicle driven by another suspect. The police are still looking for them. Now, I've been thinking about this all morning. It's like, all right, I know what a guitar looks like, and I know what a human body looks like, and I'm also familiar with pants. And how do you do that? The only thing I could think of is he stuck the neck down the leg of the pants leg and then maybe walked with a stiff leg and then had the body of the guitar maybe like around his belt line, his torso or something like that. It's the only way I could imagine it happening. The FAA investigating a YouTuber and former Olympian named Trevor Jacob, who claims to have had to parachute out of his single-engine plane last year when the engine died, but he might have crashed it on purpose just to go viral. You want some space news? Why not? SpaceX put its 2,000th Starlink satellite into orbit, and a huge half-mile-wide asteroid zipped past Earth on Tuesday. While it came close, it was still like a million miles away. Casio has a new keyboard that can sing. It uses vocal synthesis where a robotic voice can sing any lyrics you punch in. That describes half the music my 12-year-old is listening to right now. Got some health news. A new antifreeze cream could prevent frostbite injuries. You're rubbing antifreeze on yourself. Rub some of my ex-wife while you're at it. Good morning, everybody. Researchers grew a thick tuft of hair on a mouse and say it could lead to a stem cell-based cure for baldness someday. The mouse's name is Guido. And finally, Tonga, reeling from the underwater volcano that caused the big tsunami last week, turns out the blast was 600 times more powerful than the Hiroshima bomb. Where the hell is this fire?
South of the Missouri Botanical Garden.
Thank you.
Real bad fire there, and that's going to take some time to put out. And as it spreads, we don't have much of a wind out there at all because we have no wind chill. So, you know, the flames aren't spreading as a result of that. They're just
This is a big-ass fire, folks.
They have some fire crews arriving on the scene, so hopefully...
A bad week to be a member of the St. Louis Fire Department. Really, really sad week. All right, today, International Sweatpants Day. Yeah, for like the 750th straight day. Amazon opening its first physical clothing store. Well, it's Amazon, so you don't have bathrooms. You have to pee in a jug. Taiwan punishing drunk drivers by having them clean funeral parlors. I guess you would call that a deterrent. And as you think back to the, shall we say, the old days, did you ever have a teacher confiscate something and then never give it back to you? Well, that reportedly happened to some guy in Japan, and he decided to concoct an elaborate scheme to get it back. And it involved him and his girlfriend breaking into the school while the place was closed for winter vacation. Now, it's unclear what the contraband was, but it must have been pretty good. It must have been worth something because this guy is 63 years old. His girlfriend is 58. That's right. This thing had been confiscated from the guy more than 40 years ago. The mission was not a success. There was an employee at the school who overheard them and called the police. The cops arrested them for trespassing. Not surprisingly, both the guy and the girlfriend were intoxicated. You may be wondering, what did the guy expect to find? How? Where? Where was he going to find it? It wouldn't have spent the past 40 years in the same desk drawer. That's unclear. But he did tell the police he was also looking for some files for the teacher's contact information. Did I mention alcohol was involved in this? And of course, the president of these here United States, Joe Biden, held a press conference to mark his first year in office. Or if you're in QAnon, it marked Trump's fifth year in office. And with that, we say, have a great weekend. Enjoy those football games. Man, especially that one Saturday night where it could be snowing. JC loves the snows at the football games. Now, we are here every weekday morning. We publish at about 7 o'clock. If you miss a podcast, you can binge on the weekend. We archive everything right here. It's absolutely free. You can email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you there. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.